I want to invite you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke. And we are going to be looking at today as we continue our question of who are you? Sometimes the question is about the biblical person, like when the Jews and the religious leaders came to John and said, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" Today is one of those times that we're going to ask, "Who are you?" in relation to some characters in the Bible. And those two characters are sisters, Mary and Martha. And somebody had already said, "Hey, don't ask us to tell you which one you are." Obviously there was the book and the Bible study, having a Mary heart and a Martha world. And hopefully by the time we're done with this sermon, you'll understand that the world is not a Martha world. That there's more to Martha than busyness and things like that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And beginning in verse 38, we are told, "As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Martha has welcomed Jesus into her home, and she is busy serving. Martha and Mary actually show up together three times in the Bible, throughout the Gospels. Predominantly in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, Martha and Mary are Lazarus's sisters. And it's funny, in the story of Lazarus, Martha goes to Jesus first, and then Mary comes later, because when they hear that Jesus is coming, Mary can't be bothered. She's just weeping. Martha goes and she says, "If you were only here, he would have lived. And Jesus is able to extract from Martha the proclamation that she believes in the resurrection of the dead at the end times. And then she is able to pronounce that, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." And he tells her that he is the resurrection and the life. And so when that has all happened, she goes and gets Mary. And when she gets Mary, Mary drops at Jesus' feet, weeping. There's not a whole lot of theological discussion between Jesus and Mary. But it's interesting when you look at paintings of the raising of Lazarus, several of them, and icons of different kinds. There's Mary kneeling, and there's Martha standing right next to her. Later on in the Gospel of John, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus is at Simon the leper's house, and Lazarus happens to be at table with him. And then that's the one you'll remember. Mary comes in with the perfume of pure nard, and she anoints Jesus' feet, and the aroma fills the house. And we all focus on Mary, and Jesus even said, "As long as the gospel is proclaimed, what this woman has done for me will be proclaimed." But you know, Martha was there too. She was just in the background serving. And so in this room full of people, when we celebrate Mary for her extravagant love for Jesus and pouring the perfume on his feet, sometimes we can forget the fact that Martha was there too. She was serving. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John that Jesus was reclining at table and Lazarus was there and Martha was serving. So every time that Mary and Martha show up in the Gospels, they show up together, but it's kind of humorous. Mary's always at Jesus' feet, and other than the one time, Martha is generally serving. And even when it's the raising of Lazarus, she isn't the one that's going down on her knees to Jesus' feet. So the one thing I want you to be aware of and make sure you understand is that Martha is just as much a follower of Jesus Christ as Mary is. Let's not forget in this passage, it's Martha that invites Jesus into her home. It's Martha who opens up her house and is welcoming him and supplying him and taking care of him on his itinerant ministry. Not only that, she's serving. The word serving there is the same word we get deacon from. Okay? The servants of the church. When they said we needed some people who would take care of the Greek widows in Acts chapter 6, the apostles said, let's pick seven good men who will serve in this way. The word serving is the word we get deacon from, to be a servant. And earlier in Luke, Luke actually records that there were several women that traveled with Jesus taking care of his needs. Okay? We kind of lose this in our study, but Jesus called 12 men as his disciples, but there were other disciples. These were the 12 that would become the apostles. He would send them out on his behalf, but there were other people with him, and these women supplied and took care of him. You ever wondered where, I mean, I guess, you know, Jesus could always just call a lamb to walk on over and, you know, die for him, and they could always eat with Jesus around. He could turn stones into bread. And yet he had these women that traveled with him and they provided his needs. The word that is translated there is the same word as here. It's the servant word, the serving that we get deacon from. So Martha is every much a follower of Jesus. And in fact, I've got a, you know, that title picture I had, Martha looks kind of angry, doesn't she? I've got a better picture for her. You can tell that they both long for and love Jesus. They both worship and adore him. They both want to hear him. The difference, though, is Mary is at his feet, not taking care of household duties, and Martha is distracted by many things, by her many serving things, with much serving. Now, this word distracted, it's an interesting word, so we're going to look at it real close. It comes from a Greek word, periaspato, which is a compound word. Peri means about. It's a prepositional phrase. It means about. And spato means to draw, like you would draw your sword. It's that kind of an idea. So you put these two words together, peri and spato, and you put them together, and you get drawn about. All right? It's the idea that Martha is being drawn about by many things. Many concerns, many servings are causing her to go many directions, and she's all over the place, which is quite the comparison to Mary, who is sitting right there. One of the things that happens, I don't know if you know this, but when you sit, it's hard to move. She's planted there. But Martha, in her serving, she's all over the place. She is drawn from one thing to the next thing, and she's constantly moving about. You could say that compared to Mary, Martha is drawn away from Jesus because of her many servings. All these things that she is doing to try to serve him, she would like to be with him. She would like to listen like Mary is doing, but her many servings are drawing her away from Jesus. Do you ever get that way? It's an amazing thing. You can read books about the Bible without actually reading the Bible. You can read about Jesus. You can talk about Jesus without actually ever going and talking to Jesus. You can spend all your time serving the Lord without spending any time with the Lord. And that's what happens to Martha. And the struggle here, though, is that our religion, if you want to, if you are willing to let me call it that. I know there are some philosophers on YouTube that claim Christianity isn't a religion. But the life of faith of following Jesus Christ is about following Jesus. It's about listening to him. It's a Mary religion. It's a religion about sitting at his feet and taking in what he says. But oftentimes what we do is we serve him. And we can be so focused on serving him, we can be so wrapped up in serving him that all of our serving actually pulls us away from him. And we have an option in our lives whether to be drawn near to the Lord or to draw away from him. And this can happen not just as a servant, but also just as a person who needs to choose, will I follow Jesus Christ or not? The thing that gets in a lot of people's way in following Jesus is worries about other things, wanting to take care of it ourselves. And we can be about many things and many philosophies and many thoughts without being with Jesus. And that is the essence of our life with Jesus. Martha's distractions drew her away from Him. And I'm not going to ask if you're a Martha or a Mary. I'll tell you, in many ways, I'm a Martha. There are many times when I'm a Martha where all these worries, you got to understand, with technology that we have today, I can't turn without, it seems at times, without seeing some article telling me the things I need to be worried about. The seven things that are going to dictate church growth in the coming year. The five things every pastor needs to be doing. The seven things you need to worry about. The six things that are going away. It's constant. Maybe you see it too. You know, just constant bombardment. If you love Jesus, you'll do this. Right? And all these things can distract us and can pull us away from a simple faith of sitting and listening and being with Jesus. And what happens what can happen, especially if you're serving the Lord and if you're serving Him hard and you're noticing that other people aren't serving Him, and unfortunately most of the people that aren't serving Him aren't pulling a Mary. They're not sitting there saying, oh, I want to hear from Jesus. They're generally pulling like, you know, most of the people that got healed by Jesus. Thank you, I got healed. I'm moving back to my life. You know, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Only one comes back to thank Him. And that one is a Samaritan. The other nine, what happened to them? Well, they kept going to the priest. They were probably pretty happy they were healed. We don't know if they ever gave Jesus another thought. A lot of times it seems that's what's really happening. It's very few that are just sitting there listening to Jesus. And if your heart's a Mary, a Martha heart, and if you're serving the Lord and you're becoming so focused on the serving you're doing, your heart can become bitter to the people around you that aren't serving. Your heart can become bitter to the people that aren't doing their part. And that's what happens to Martha. That's really the problem with Martha. Martha's problem is not all of her serving. It's not even that she wasn't able to sit at Jesus' feet because she was serving. Her real issue is the bitterness of her heart against Mary. And so she comes with her complaints to Jesus. And she brings her complaints in a spirit of bitterness. Have you ever done that? Just taking out your bitterness about the world and about other people to Jesus? If you're going to take your bitterness to somebody, best take it to Him. Don't take it to your enemies. Don't take it to your friends necessarily, unless they can let it roll off their backs like a duck with water. But we can always take our bitterness to God. We can always take our anger to God. We can always take our loathing to God. We can always take all of our corrections for the world that He has created to God. And He can take it. That's what I love. He can take all of the abuse we can hurl at Him. And Martha comes to give Jesus some abuse because she's upset with Mary, but notice it's Jesus' fault. Lord, in verse 40, do you not care? Don't you care? And this question, the Greek language, which is what the New Testament was written in, they actually had two ways of asking this kind of a question. There was a way that expected a positive response, and there was a way that expected a negative response. And they did it with two different words. Ooh meant, I expect a positive response. May meant, I expect a negative response. Now, we do the same thing. You're not going to eat all of that, are you? You're not going to leave those dishes there, are you? Now you notice, I used almost always the same words and even the same tone of voice. And yet, I doubt any of you misunderstood what was the expected answer, did you? You know, we don't even have those little clues. We just know the context. You're not going to eat all that, are you? Well, culturally, we know the answer is no, of course not. You're not going to leave all those dishes there, are you? Well, we all know culturally, oh, of course I'm going to do the dishes. Yes. Well, Martha asks her question, don't you care, with an ooh. She expects Jesus to say, yes, I care. And she says, don't you care? And oftentimes when we're bitter at our hearts, we think that the problem is God must not care about us. How quickly we go to, don't you care? Don't you care, God? I've had people tell me that they felt like God didn't love them, and I just don't. I understand the bitterness and the question, but Jesus sent His Son to die on the cross for all. He created us. He made us. He has given us life. It's pretty silly to say you don't love us, but we do it. Don't you care? She said, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I find this kind of funny. It's not. It doesn't work quite in the Greek, but it works in the English. Here you've got Martha who has been pulled away, distracted from being with Jesus. She looks at her sister who's sitting at Jesus' feet and she says, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Now we understand colloquially what we mean when we say you've left me to do this, but there's a little bit extra idea when you leave somebody, like you've gone somewhere else. And in a sense, it's as if Martha was saying, she's left me to be with you. She should be in the kitchen with me. She should be serving with me, but instead, she's sitting at your feet. She's not with me, she's with you. Don't you care? And so now we're starting to see the ridiculousness of the argument, right? But Martha doesn't see it, and most of the time, when we're in Martha's shoes, we don't see the ridiculousness of our complaints either. So that's okay, we'll forgive her. Don't you care that she left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Tell her to help me, Jesus. You do what I'm telling you, Lord. Have you ever gotten to that place where you wanted to tell God what He should do? You need to start doing this, God. Tell her to help me. Get in the way. Now, why she didn't go and just say, Mary, come on, I really need your help. We don't know. Maybe she did, and Mary said, get out of here, get out of here. But she took it to the Lord. And Jesus' answer is, it's hard to listen to. Think of it. You're in the middle of serving a whole group of people. You're taking care of, you've invited them in your home. You're taking care of Jesus. You're so happy to be able to serve Him, to love on Him in this way. Your sister is not doing her part. You go to Him, you say, oh Lord, she's not helping me. Would you tell her to help me? And He says, Martha, Martha, you're all worried about a bunch of stuff you don't need to be worried about. I don't know about you, but when Jesus says that, I'm not in the mood to hear it. We're not generally in the mood to hear that when we're angry or upset about what other people are doing. Oh no, Martha, the real issue is you. And I hate to tell you this, but if you're sitting around saying, Lord, help make these people help me, or Lord, these other people need to be doing something for me, and boy, do I hear that a lot. Not just out of my own lips, but oftentimes, oh, you failed me. Oh, the church failed me. Oh, you guys didn't do what you were supposed to. Oh, you know, if your focus is on how other people are failing you, your focus is wrong. Watch out for that log in your own eye before you start worrying about that speck in everybody else's eye, because chances are you're failing everybody around you too, if they're failing you. Jesus takes her and says, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You are worried and focused on so much, but one thing, only one thing is necessary. And some people have thought, well, maybe Jesus is talking about like she only needed to get a small little dish. She didn't need to make a 5-course meal. She just needed a little soup and a little bread. I don't think that's really what he's getting at. He says, only one thing is necessary in life. Only one thing is really necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part. She has chosen that thing that is better and that is necessary, and so it's not going to be taken away from her. I'm not going to tell her to stop listening. How about you just calm down and you sit down and you listen too? That's what he's saying to her. Only one thing is necessary. And there are some times when we can become so anxious and troubled about so many things. And I've experienced it. I've noticed it in my own life over the last year of wanting to get this thing right and wanting to get that thing right. And how do we solve this problem? And how do we do this other thing? And the problems compound. And every now and then you just need to stop. And you need to just put it all down and push it all away and say, you know what? Only one thing matters. And then you go and you worship the Lord on that one thing. Because truly, only one thing is necessary. And so, I don't want to get us to stop serving. You know, at Simon's house, Martha was serving. She was still there. She was doing her job. Mary gets all the acclaim because of the worship, but Martha was serving. And I think Martha had a heart for service. It shows up. And her heart for service was not the issue. The desire that she had to serve wasn't the issue. The issue was that her serving got in the way of her focus on Christ. And later on, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the grave, you know, personally, I think Martha got the better end of that deal. Martha comes out like a rock star when Jesus shows up in John to raise Lazarus from the dead, because she proclaims, I know that he will rise on the end days. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will not die, and even if he dies, yet he believes in me, he will still live. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then she goes and gets Mary and says, Mary, you know, Jesus is here. And there's a sense that she has turned a corner that Mary hasn't. Mary's still in her grief, and Mary can just fall at Jesus' feet and weep. Now, they both get their brother back, but Martha, I think Martha shines in that scene. So let's not have this attitude of there are bad things, because the Martha world isn't the idea of so busy. It's just that she was serving God so much. And I don't think you can claim this world's a Martha world, because this world is not so focused on serving God that it stops listening to Jesus Christ. But you know, there's only one thing that is necessary. I think this might be becoming my life verse. I don't know. I don't really go in for that stuff too much. But the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 29. The Jews asked Jesus, what works must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. That you believe in Him who has been sent. That you believe in Jesus Christ. Only one thing is necessary. And no matter what else happens in our lives, if we hold on to the one whom has been sent, we'll be doing all right. And whether we're able to serve a lot or serve a little, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what comes, if we can hold on to that one thing. And that's why Christianity is a Mary religion, because she held on to that one thing. She might not have been able to proclaim great theological truths, but she sat at Jesus' feet. And when she was mourning her brother's death and she was full of grief, she fell and wept at Jesus' feet, and He wept with her. And when He was sitting at a table and probably laughing and joking with Lazarus raised from the dead and Simon, who had been healed from leprosy, Mary comes in and she takes nard and she pours it over His feet, and the whole room smells of this stuff. And self-righteous disciples say, why wasn't this given and the money given to the poor? Then Jesus says, she is preparing me for my death. Leave her alone. That's a Mary religion, a religion that worships Jesus. And some of us, our worship for Jesus comes through serving Him. And I think Martha, she loved Jesus too. She maybe didn't love Him in the same reckless, abandoned way that Mary did, but she loved Him. She served Him. She was glad to take care of His physical needs. The thing we got to watch out for is that we do not allow all of our worries and our distractions and our anxieties to draw us away from the one thing that is necessary. And so today, if you're a Martha at heart, if you find yourself being so focused on so many things, let's just take a pause. Let's just take a moment. Let's remember the one thing that matters. To believe in the one whom He has sent. To sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's worship Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love shown to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that we can serve You. We thank You, Lord, that we can give to You of our time and our energy and our money and our efforts, and that You've gifted us, that You've given us things to do that we can use for Your glory and for the furtherance of Your kingdom. But Lord, we pray as we serve You that we do not get so focused on our service and so embittered to the people around us that we don't perceive to be serving You in the same way. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't get so distracted that we would stop worshiping You. We ask that You would help us to sit at Your feet, to listen to what You have spoken and said to us, to follow Jesus our Lord. Lord, we ask and pray, if anybody is here today or anybody is in our lives that is worried about so many things, they don't have time to listen to Jesus, to hear what He has said, to follow Him. Lord, we ask, we pray that You would help them, that Your Holy Spirit would guide them to open their hearts to listen to the words of Jesus Christ, that we would believe in the one whom You have sent. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.